Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Podomation update number 9, where I talk about just general software and how podcast is doing. So Podomation refers to augmenting sort of standard podcasts with, I suppose, bespoke software manufacturing or software editions. So I understand a lot of people do podcasting and they use commercial software, and I'm just using the basic software of MP3 and the basic freely available command line software to actually push it all together. I still to get back, and I can see there's compression on MP3 files and various things like that. I'm just trying to think of how to compress it. There's sort of things that I have to eventually get done, and that's the conversion of podcasts to transcripts, so that the transcripts publishable, and so it's Google searchable, so you can actually search the podcast. Now, the basic sort of structure on top of that is LabVIEW, which is a fundamental robot program or factory automation software. And so it just takes the treats, I suppose, the what is it, the dictaphone as a data source, extracts that and holds it at certain areas, and there's these holding places. So it takes the initial recording, holds it until you put a title and a bit of information on it, takes that, then automatically publishes it, and then puts it off to Twitter. I don't think there's much thing. I've held it off putting it onto YouTube automatically because there's just no one viewing YouTubes. And then when it's done on the blogs. There's still a bit of, for me, an irritation. In fact, I've got it automatically doing on WordPress. I really haven't even looked in at what's happening on, if anyone's watching the WordPress. And then it's been taken by feed readers and going across, and I've just done a bit of, I suppose, web page construction. So it can take a quiz and a word search for per podcast quizzes, but I just really haven't had the time to sit down and produce a quiz for each podcast, even though I really had to do that. And so the overall reason I'm doing podcasts is for rehabilitation, to get out so I can do a podcast and I stretch my memory. So when I'm doing free podcasts like this, I've got to actually get the various structures to speak it coherently and consistently, but also when I'm writing up the podcast, I have to remember what I've just read about, and sometimes that's a bit of a struggle. Well, it's getting more of a struggle, and as I'm sort of pushing myself up to do hour-long podcasts of reading, so that takes quite a lot to do, and that's just efforts, just like running to get across there, to push across, and so it's just, I suppose, a general experience to know when to automate and when to actually create sort of a data storage yard, various things, so and to sort of create a storage yard which you can trim down after things are going well. So what happens, you take it to one spot and then get up to the next phase. You don't want to destroy or remove your data from phase to phase, so you sort of store it. It's like moving baggage across an airport or something like that. You move it from point A to point B, eventually get to point D, but you build it up at point B. And you may get something to C and D and find D, you find it falls apart. And to go back, you don't have to go back all the way to A. You've got images of everything at B and C. And the things do fall apart. And it just takes a little while to slowly weed out the errors. So there was a catastrophe of it not being able to handle question mark or non-DOS letters in the file names. And that was sorted out. I had a filter. I just moved the filter right up to close to where the data was coming out. So that's appeared to clean that up. I was trying to think. Yeah, that's cleaned that overall problem up. And now I've got the distribution. Now, there's sort of two ways to go in my head. One is the looking at a better way to feed burner and to ask people if things cross-fertilize, sort of to ask people who are expert out there. But this doesn't appear to be anyone really expert. And people who should be in the phase of communicating are just not quite there at the moment. They're very much like blurt. I suppose it really goes that there are these, it sort of shows that I'm thinking fundamentally differently, from government or agencies, which think in a very linear way. I think in terms of everybody I communicate with and how that could possibly go through in this sort of very complex way. So Blurt, I'm just trying to work out. Blurt is a, fantastic software package which allows you to communicate from your mobile phone with your users. And it's great. The thing blocking me is I don't have a mobile phone or a tablet to communicate. I do have people to communicate with, but I have also the audience has been cut off with me. That's the my friends at the education department are aggressively trying to shut me out, shut me down, insofar as even look for basic things like trying to get paid for cognitive tests. They're saying, oh no, or there's not returning phone calls and that type of stuff. So this, just getting back onto Blurt, it means that I don't have the actual architecture, the tablet to use it with, nor do I have the actual students to communicate, but I can see that happening a long way, but I can see that Blurt has the same problem as any technology, which is just the initial technology. G'day, it's cold. Sorry, there's someone walking past who thought I was a complete idiot because I've got a blanket over my head at the moment because it's really freezing cold. I don't have the same amount of hair that I used to when I was a hirsute individual. Yeah, but and again, I should try and speak to the people at Blurt. Like I've got certain synergies. I've got trying to develop a narrative story for me, which fits with the product, which Blurt has done very, very well. But they also have the problem of if you've got a fantastic thing trying to produce a lot of data, like say the podcasts, trying to plan ahead for how to distribute it and structure it such that it's searchable and usable. And this is for all these people, I think, oh, great, I've got my first podcast out, there'll be a great audience, and then I won't know what to do next. So it's a Blurt, and this podcasting shares the same solution space, which I have now, which is where you create a data source. I'll have to get back to other groups which I'm talking about, which would be interesting to get going. Another group is the also getting back to that. In this pile, you produced it, you have your post-production collection of the essential data, and then that's basically a text file or sort of an Excel spreadsheet file. I forgot what it's called. It's called a spreadsheet file. Being able to then search columns and fields for free text, select an amount, and then actually convert that to precision production of multiple, little apps, I suppose. There are apps in as much that you press a button which looks like an app and it plays your MP4 file. Yeah, it does play your MP4 file directly off the internet. Now, that process, I'm still working on, but it's getting there. I have got this sort of innate feeling not to push working on that too hard at this point in time. So I'm just kicking that along. So for these apps, the tiles, they have a two-letter code to identify them. So you can't really visually count down the codes too much. You can remember that a certain tile was named, say, TI or XY or something to do, a code with a clue to what's, you know, just two letters to code, and there's only two letters you can actually fit on a little tile. And I've got it automatically constructed of the first letter and the first number that it encounters to produce things. And I've just got to change it a little bit actually visualizing it. Switch off the automatic process and allow you to actually go in there and edit it. And then it happens at an amazing speed. For it, I find it amazing producing 10, 15 apps in a topic area within just no time whatsoever. You just press it and it's done. And it's a pretty amazing thing to see. Now, what of course it does is just produces the database file for the app engine to produce the app a bit later on. So there's a bit of software under there. But what I've done is that from experience, I know from a hard, cruel experience that you have your draft, you work on the draft, clear the draft, and then authorize the draft. So I've just automatically done that on a, build the apps and then burn it onto the actual, once it's cleared, just another drop-down button. This game is bits and pieces of the love view which really irritate me. I can't get the drop down and the enumeration process to work as well as I would like. But you just press burn and it's burnt in there. And then something which I sort of discovered is that if you switch on and off the app burner, the app maker, it does it. It builds the it's now a 130-page website within about 20, 30 seconds. It's a lot of time. And I still haven't got under the hood on it. I don't think I will ever be able to get under the hood because it'll either be successful as it is. There's no point actually rescuing it. And occasionally it does have a brain freeze and says, do you want me to stop and continue? And what you always say is stop, because everything is stored live, it can continue. So there's a problem in it there. So this stops me distributing this software live for everyone, these little bugs. But the end result is that there's a app production, which is an app button, and you can see I've done two Cosmos magazines, starting on a New Scientist, and sort of one of the overall things is that the amount of time on each of these are dropping down, and I've doing various chemical tours, so I could just gather up all the chemical tours, put them together, and at one point I've got to really call it a day on what what I'm doing. So what happens is I've got an app of podcasts, and really you don't have to have a feed burner. I suppose you can have a feed burner which would update, you know, the podcast has been updated. Oh, that would be a thing, to have an RSS. I'll have to think about writing my own feed for an RSS feed. It doesn't actually feed you the podcast. It feeds you the app pages of the most recent stuff. Yeah. I have automatically written the capacity for, I've put a redirect file which you can edit later on up there. So once it knows where its app is, you can press it there. Just have to really, really concentrate on how that operates, it's mind crunchingly complex to try and work out how this operates. This is such that the feed, whichever it's onto, there's a button that you can press which takes you to the automatic app. But I really think it would be simplest if everyone had a feed of the actual app itself. This is where I'm at the moment. I know it doesn't make a lot of sense, but I'm just trying to automate it. The overall question is which is the way forward? Fundamentally, it's interesting that people are the real value in it, as from my perspective, is the new insights on quantum physics and how to teach quantum physics, or the new insight on what molecules are important. I think they're the most important. However, people aren't really interested in that. I don't know what they're particularly sampling as they're going through. And so I have I don't have the knowledge to know how to grow it in terms of creating better feed burner or for different markets. I'll have to really, really ask about that. So I've got a knowledge black spot. Like, I don't know. I'm really not skilled at growing a podcast audience there. But in terms of software, the way to distribute the podcasts is to put them in these apps, which puts them in by category. There's little buttons that you press down on this mobile interface. That's, you know, how does that go ahead, and what really excites people? So I just have to really think about that, and I've got a limited amount of time of rehabilitation yet, where I have to really have to exceed various limits. It's really unknown, because like what's happened is there's been some real known memory problems or discussion, talking problems, communication problems with it, and they've gone down. Are there others out there? And I'm going to face a hostile back to work environment, where hopefully I've brought up my best suit of basically addressing the fundamental problems of memory, communication and stuff like that, and focusing on that. They seem to be the obvious things to pick up first. If you can't fix them up, you know, the next tier of problems to get there, then the next one is to actually analyze or get some feedback about what could be their next barriers that they have, you know, in terms of delivery in a certain way or certain worksheets in a certain way. I should be able to automate up there. So in general, this is a general approach. I better get home, because I can't be out or what's happening is that I've got to do some actual exercise, bike, high intensity, high heart rate stuff, and cut down the actual amount of walking in the day. Or this is my instructions to do that. So it's just basically curbing the amount of walking that you do, but substituting that with some weight training and various things to get on top of things. So I'm told. Getting back to it. I don't know. It's for me, it's a really crazy thing to just automatically, just continuously upgrade software without really, really thinking about it. I sort of half think about it, and then I say, like, unfortunately, as I was talking to you, or talking to the fantastic podcast audience out there, which I hope is, I don't know, I'll not say, but just to know how to edit the letters in front of the tiles, that is to have it a bit like a machine where it's, the machine pops it in and and just have the difference between it there. So I have to change it from an indicator to control, and out of control take away the machine intelligence to actually put the codes in, because sometimes it smokes it up. You want to adjust some of the codes, set and forget. And what happens is, say, I will have a category of Cosmos magazine. Now, at the moment, I have to get in and write on the software. It doesn't take much, just a winter, autumn 2018, which eventually that will come out. For the new scientist, as I do it, I have to put in a new date each time and then put it underneath the column there, and to actually probably just set one thing back. Unfortunately, I can see a way to interrogate. If you put one thing, it will then automatically read for you the actual, I shouldn't do that, get it? At the moment, I just go to the web page of the tile that I want to put things underneath, and it reads it, and then automatically works it out and puts things underneath that heading. So if you've got a tile and just want to add a few more, it automatically puts things underneath that heading. So there again, you can see as I'm podcasting, I'm, I suppose, subconsciously working out what to do next. It's overall, like I say, it's taken a bit over a day to do the inside history. So it takes you roughly a day, it's going to take a bit over a day to read The New Scientist. And it's took over a day, just a complete day, to read Cosmos magazine end to end. And it's still, categories up. It's really writing up in detail, I suppose, in web pages, a full explanation. Say, I've just come up today with what were the three postulates of Bohr, and what are the four postulates that we're going to have to replace, because it's such a powerful engine, the idea of postulates. That's where to go at. Or the process of science teaching. I've sort of come up with a more effective way of doing aim hypothesis. A more effective way, and I have to write that up. Now, the overall issue is that I think this is sort of a real key issue, is that what people can do, I think this is a real key issue, is that people can control the innovation, because normally if they close you up, they can close up the innovation. I think what's happening here is that the close down or the removing of the support for innovation isn't working. And when I really come to think of it, I think that's what happens, that when I have shown the software, so quite innocently, or of course you can imagine the exuberance, say you discover something and you can see how it works, you don't assume people are going to react negatively. But I do remember people looking away and trying to see the other way. And I think this is an overall theme, that there is this, let's stop this, let's pull the plug out of this any way we can. And it's just, I suppose that's a bit premature. And I do have people who have sat me down at various stages on various innovations and try to reason with me that things are not possible in robotics or quantum physics or things like that. And indeed, they could be right, but after a bit of research, I found out that there is a way forward. And so I think there's a huge fundamental mismatch brewing in here as to, it's almost as if you've got a complete worldview and something's missing, or I suppose I could have a complete worldview and there's something missing, that I don't respond to coercion. I sort of observe it, feel it, but I can't process it because there is this great potential. There's a genuine not understanding and a misinterpretation, because I've got to a certain ability to understand the strategy viewpoint. I can see some differences in strategy there, and just being able to pull sufficient strategy levers or sufficient things forward that's moving forward. So I can, as I'm speaking, I'm beginning to see some problems. I can also see that people require just a limited length of communication, a limited number of options to think at any particular point forward. So I'm just really thinking forward at the next couple of steps. So for me, it's at this next level of software to get up and going and to keep on podcasting. So what's happened today is that you just podcast for a few hours, you run out of energy, watch some telly and realize that you have to get to bed. And I had sort of set myself a goal here of doing the entire New Scientist, but I already got a third of the way through it by and reading an hour to it, which is good, but it's a real big limitation for it. So it's really strange, because if I am not occupied doing the podcasting, I sort of automatically start to think about the next level of software app and where it can go. And just going on that, the next level of software is, I think it's going to be that much more easy. I'm so pleased that I just took a break and didn't push it too fast, so that I was able to create sort of pools of podcast data. So I'm surprised that there's 14 podcasts on the periodic table. And I could just go go down the list, click on them, and put them in the right place. So in a sense, I'm actually buying time, but really it's pointless if people actually don't understand or don't move across to using the apps. That's right. So I really think that the app angle into podcasts or knowledge structure is the growth potential. There may be another growth potential through organic podcast growth through the feeds, and it may be just as simple as getting the correct feed or the correct following. It's just the lack of understanding about how that's gone forward. Now, in trying to actually gather the information for that, I've decided I've contacted a library and got the library to see if I can get academics to look at how the information is structured from that point. But it is also very interesting that my communications to experts in the field have gone absolutely zero when these are quite good thoughts. So it's a bit of a head scratcher to see how to get through it, but overall it just means that I've got to do hours of work writing things up, putting things in web pages, structuring it together. I did actually put my ethics lesson together. I don't know how I did that or why I did it, but I showed it to my sister, who's controlling the ethics of some major Victorian universities, and she automatically read and understood it, and it seems a very good path, way forward. But yeah, at the moment, I've got this no feedback system. It's pretty much like getting a laser up and running where it's, you're just getting a bit of spontaneous emission. You don't get that special, red, or sort of slightly redder, slightly different spectral output when it starts to begin to laze, because spontaneous tends to be more on the blue end, so lazing tends to be slightly redder. So it's just a slight thing. It's just trying to actually tweak this system up, like many of the machines and I've done before, to try and get it across the line. So on this, I'm outside my house at home, and we'll close off, go to bed and get some sleep. Thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.